The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone. When he's not on the microphone, he's playing a song. And when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone. And then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't. Yes, he did.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
All right, hour number two. Hour number two. Carmichael Dave, Jason Ross. Kyle is in for Christopher Lodd. Gracie is a dog, and she is currently on the studio table drinking water provided by award-winning Hall of Famer Pat Still.
That's Hall of Fame water.
We know you love your dog. And she is attracted to Jason, who, come here, here's the thing. Jason's kind of like half allergic to dogs.
And half not.
So Jason gave in and...
I can't help it.
I know, but like that's... Gracie, come here. Ding dong. Because here's the thing.
Oh, you want to play.
Yeah, she does.
Hey, you turn my mic off.
She does not like what you've been saying today.
Apparently. I guess not.
So what I've figured out here is I can put Gracie's bed on this chair that's up in the air. And unless she, you know, does a cowabunga.
Which is possible.
Yeah, she's pretty much in what we like to call air jail.
Yeah.
So, you gotta relax, dog.
But if she does try to make the jump, just push the chair further away from the table.
Yeah, but I'm worried she's gonna try to make the jump down onto the floor. Wow. Or she's just gonna fall down. But if you hear a loud yelping, you'll know what happened. In the meantime, let's take a look at the standings, everybody. Coming up next, Three for Madness, brought to you by Fire Wings. It's a three-way tie, Jason.
Yes.
You can choose to optimistically say it is a three-way tie for eighth or a three-way tie for tenth. So let's just call it a three-way tie for ninth.
Okay.
We'll split the middle. It's a three-way tie for all three. The Kings, the Warriors, and the Lakers are all at 45 and 35. The Kings have gone 2-2 against the Warriors this year, and the second tiebreaker is conference record. The Kings have a four-game lead on the Warriors. They've got the tiebreaker. The Kings have swept the Lakers. That's it right there. It doesn't matter what you've done in conference. They'd have that tiebreaker anyway. So they hold the tiebreaker over all of them. What's also interesting about this, despite the loss to, not that this would matter, well, I guess it will matter. Despite the loss, the Kings do also hold the tiebreaker, would hold the tiebreaker if they beat the Suns.
Correct.
So they have them in conference record by two games. If they beat the Suns, that would be three. Wouldn't matter what happened in Portland. So the Kings do control their destiny when it comes to the eight seed. If they win out, they are the eight seed, unless Phoenix loses, not just to the Kings, but also I believe that's in Minnesota.
Correct.
So if the Suns lose two and the Kings win two, again, one tonight against Phoenix, they will then be the seventh seed and be hosting. So that's your standings update.
Yeah, and this is the bed they made, right? I mean, there was, again, whether you pick, hey, imagine if they didn't go to 0-5 against the Pelicans. Imagine if they didn't lose to Charlotte or Detroit or Portland. But all those things did happen, or blow, what, 4 20-point leads this season. Yeah, there's a lot of what-ifs. I think it's a season of what-ifs. And here they are with all of that down to game 81 now. But they will not be a playoff team, at least now. They'll be a play-in team in that road. You just wish, like, the funny thing is, like, last night, and maybe the Warriors did this, Dave, knowing that tonight's game against the Pelicans might be more difficult. But they went up to Portland and said, yeah, you know what, we're going to rest Draymond. And we're going to rest Clay.
Mm-hmm.
And they won. They came back and won. But I also feel like, yeah, if they're 10, they're 10. Whereas if the Kings fell to 10, it would feel like...
Yes.
Because they would have fallen.
Yes.
Warriors have been good since January. Lakers have been really good the last 5 weeks. Kings have not been that good.
The Warriors have won 9 of their last 10. The Lakers, 7 of their last 10. And that's championship caliber experienced teams that tend to turn it on and know exactly what to do towards the end of the season. That is what they are doing. Suns, by the way, have won 6 of their last 10 and are favored by 5.5 tonight, according to Las Vegas. You know, we said that we wanted the season, if nothing else, to break ground. You know, I guess we can technically say it has, because this will be the Kings' very first appearance as a play-in team.
Yeah.
They've never done that.
No, and I don't know where they will finish after 82, but if they're one of the teams that would have been a playoff team in the old format, that's too bad. But that's not the way it is in the old format anymore.
No, it's not. This is where it is. And
the only thing they have going for them is the tiebreakers you suggested. That's what they've got going for them. Not a lot else right now.
No, and the fan base is really – it's a tough time right now. And it's weird because I'm as pessimistic as the – I'm more pessimistic. I'm definitely on the pessimistic, disappointed side.
Yeah.
But I do find myself when I see – because I think you can go overboard on both sides.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of overboard on – like, Domas is trash. Fox has no heart. Fire McNair.
Right.
Look. In retrospect, with respect to the fact, here's the best defense I can mount for Monty McNair. Number one, whether it was during the summer of the trade deadline, there was just absolutely no value. There were deals out there. And you know what? Maybe in the future we're going to say, yeah, maybe it should have been Keegan and a couple of firsts for Siakam or Ananobi or whoever. Like maybe Keegan's just not going to be that guy. But Monty McNair, who's the same guy that grabbed Tyrese Halliburton at 12, he's the same guy that grabbed Keon Ellis, he's the same guy that grabbed Keegan Murray himself, he and his team deemed that that was not going to be a good value trade for the Kings, especially financially. Again, I'm trying to defend him here. There was no value in the summer. There was no value at the trade deadline. Continuity is so important when you look at most championship caliber teams, whether it's the Warriors, whether it's the Nuggets, whoever it is, Celtics, there is almost complete continuity on those teams and they just kind of add in a piece or two. I'm sure that was probably part of the thought. Let's run it back. Yeah, we're going to give Harrison Barnes this contract. It's not $30 million, it's $18 million. I still think that's too much, but again, you got a guy who's going to play every game, show up, and is a consummate leader, blah, 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 all that. I can mount whatever. I understand what Monty McNair and his team were thinking.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
Right.
It didn't work.
Right.
It didn't work. So he's had a tough year and he's going to have to make some adjustments this summer.
I think to your point, if you think about basically what I would say would be the three main moves of new pieces, you were going to be Nimi Keita and Nerlens Noel and JaVale McGee pops available.
Right.
I personally love that deal. I thought that made a lot of sense. JaVale McGee hasn't had an impact really on this
Not
team.
At all.
You get the EuroLeague MVP, Sasha. I didn't know a lot about him, but okay, that seemed to be their quest to get him. He has been injured, but also I don't think played up to anybody's level, his own included. And then Chris Duarte was a little bit of a flyer, but if he went to rookie year, he was good.
Yes.
Played his best year with Sabonis. And, I mean, I think there's logic behind all of it. Now, I think if you go of that group and the entirety of the roster, too many people have not had as good a year as last year. I would say Monk's year has been better.
Yep, and he's hurt.
Fox has been probably comparable. And really, you could say Sabonis, the totality of the year has been better.
Yeah.
But the rest of the group, I mean, hurt or not, Barnes not. Davion's been hot now, but I don't think the year, no. Mm-hmm. And just the Lyle's not the same. It's just you go all the way down the list. There was a lot of guys that played better last year.
At some point, you know, Kevin Herter spoke to the media yesterday, including our own Brendan Nunes, who will join us at 9, and we will explain why when we get there. But Herter talked, and I thought one thing he said was quite interesting. He said he was looking for a doctor that would clear him and then finally made the decision to get the surgery, in part that this has been bothering him for a while. It makes you wonder, Was he fighting an injury this year? Was this thing? Because for some reason, ever since that 3-point contest last year, it's, remember, once upon a time, kids, not that long ago, Kevin Herter was an absolute steal from Atlanta and couldn't miss and was on a record-breaking pace. That 3-point contest hit, and it's been a tale of two Herters. So I find that interesting. I mean, you can definitely tilt your head and go, okay, it's not all that bad, but you're a prisoner of expectation.
Sure.
And in this case, there were bigger and broader expectations. The West got better and the Kings didn't.
Yeah.
And they're paying for it with a lateral year, basically.
Yeah, at this point.
So it seems.
Right. Yeah. And that's the fragile nature of it. Like if next week doesn't go well, you technically would have missed the playoffs. Now you're talking about 17 of what, 18 of 19 years that you've missed.
Yeah.
Woof. That's rough.
We'll take a break when we come back. 3 for Madness. We'll look at tonight's other games. Pressure. We'll get back to Monty McNair. And 1 year ago Monday. What happened? I don't know. We'll find out next. From the 916 at our text line, 916-339-1140. That's a good question. Well, it's from the 530. If they don't make it out of the play-in, is the playoff streak over at one, or will they have made the playoffs 2 years in a row? I believe the streak's over.
It is over. They didn't make the playoffs.
They make the playoffs.
Yeah. The play-in is not a playoff.
It is not. It is the postseason, but it's not the playoffs.
I guess, yeah.
From the 916, how about make some adjustments with the dang team you have? It's called coaching. We know we match up terrible with the Pelicans, yet we just continue to do the same. Barnes on Zion. There's options. Coach does try them. Doesn't try them, I think is what this is trying to say. Frustrated Folsom Mike. Hey, I hear you, but what? What are we going to do? What? I'm asked, what option? Yeah. You going to put, maybe start Trey Lyles in for Harrison? Lyles had minutes last night.
As an option, just to that text, yeah. I felt like they combated their size with smaller guys.
Right.
I know they don't play Len and Sabonis a lot, but I don't know. With Valanciunas and Sabonis, Valanciunas and Zion are on. I think Alex Len, again, for what it's worth, plus minus, was closer to even or positive, and I thought he defended Zion okay. So
Len was plus two.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I thought there were other options. I will say that. But look, I think for five games, they haven't figured them out either.
Harrison Barnes, by the way, was a team low minus 18.
Which is the tough one because he literally, to the Texas, could not stop Zion, which I get. But it was a night where you got Harrison scoring, so yeah. I get why they kept him in.
22-5-4 with a steal, did not turn the ball over. I would take a night like that from Harrison every night of the week, but unfortunately. What was the other thing I wanted to say? Was it about Len? No. Oh, yeah, watching every time I watch Sabonis and Valanciunas go at it, it's like taking two prime ribs and slapping them together. It's just a couple of sides of beef.
G-Man called them, it's like two mountain goats, like just, you know, when they just battle their heads together, it's like that's, or rams, that's what it looked like.
Yeah. All right. Kyle?
Hello.
Three for Madness, question one.
Question one, who you got tonight in the Lakers-Grizzlies and Pelicans-Warriors game?
I'm going to take the Lakers, and I'm going to take the Warriors in this one. I'll tell you why. I think, Lakers are playing Memphis first off. They have a lot to play for, so I'm going to go there with the Lakers. I think that's the easier one to pick. Pelicans and Warriors is interesting, but A, Warriors are at home. B, the Warriors won 9-10. C, the Pelicans are on the second night of a back-to-back. And D, I believe they've clinched the six, have they not?
No.
The Suns could still catch them?
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. So,
that was the scenario I was telling you before. The Kings could play them.
Even that being said, that's right. They're only one ahead of the Suns. That being said, even with something to play for, I'm going to go with the Warriors on that one. And just for funsies, let's see what Vegas thinks about that. I would imagine the Warriors are favored here, and they are by 4.5. So Warriors are favored by 4.5. I'm going to go Lakers, and I'm going to go Warriors, unfortunately, in this case.
Yeah. I'll go Lakers as well, though I think Memphis has played them pretty tough this year, even with their record. And I don't know about Anthony Davis. I guess he'll play. Who knows? I'll take the Pelicans. I really was impressed by them yesterday, and maybe that's more of them against the Kings. And I think Ingram's playing tonight.
Yeah.
He was really close. I mean, he was working out pretty hard before the game. So that might give him a little boost. Who knows? They've obviously figured out a little bit how to play without him. But I'll take a flyer on the Pelicans.
Number two, please.
Question two.
Is the pressure on Monty McNair this offseason?
Yeah, it is. Look, Monty picks and chooses. Remember, right before the Sabonis-Halliburton trade, it was he doesn't do anything. And then, oh my God, I didn't know you were going to do that. That make a move. I think everything's on the table. I think everything's on the table. I don't think anyone's untradeable. And no, that doesn't mean I think they're going to trade Sabonis or Fox, or they should trade Sabonis or Fox. I think I'm going to take a good, long, hard look at this team and think, are there available things that we can do to make this a championship contender? And if they're not, and something of value pops up, there you go. There are some limitations. Obviously, Malik Monk is looming out there. You got two max guys in Fox and Sabonis. But they got to try to figure something out because you can't run this back. You run this back next year, and at least the beginning of the year is going to be an absolute crap show with the fans. They would have to like start out like 21-8 and be like, oh, he knows what he's talking about. But they're just setting themselves up at any point. And I don't know what Vec's thinking. I don't think anybody's on the hot seat. But I would say this going into next year.
Yeah.
Seat's warmer.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you said last night, you know, looking at social media, goes from everywhere, like Mike Brown, Monty, they got to go. I would think that's crazy talk right now, but I also think you're getting closer to that kind of talk.
Sure.
And saying they've got to go is different than it's going to happen, right? Like, that's that could be fan speak, but look, one, expectations, what you achieved last year, if it is a play-in and an exit, so it's not a playoff, yeah, a lot more attention, a lot more pressure. Well, even if it is a playoff appearance, and I don't assume a very long run, there should be pressure. This team has to get better. It isn't enough.
Yes.
And if that's where they want to get to, which I'm assuming they do, and, you know, Mike Brown's had a shorter run at this than Monty. It wouldn't, you know, Monty's been around a little bit now. It's not, you know, has wouldn't be unfair if they did something crazy like that, but it's not the time. It's not the time.
I don't think so.
So give them another opportunity. I think overall there's been a lot of positives. They've drafted pretty well. That's the other thing is I really want them to make it so they can execute that draft pick and get rid of that.
That's the other thing that we're not really talking about enough, too, is making this postseason, the playoffs. That's
important for multiple reasons.
That's important for multiple reasons. You would really, really, really like to give that pick up.
Yeah.
By the way, somebody on the tech line, and let me just, somebody in the YouTube chat, I'm seeing this a lot. Yeah, well, DeMonte Sabonis is a max player. He's not a max player. Yeah, he is 100% a max player. And if, I'm not trying to be, well, this is going to sound like I'm being a D-bag. I'm sorry, but it's true. If you don't think DeMonte Sabonis is a max player, you need to put the video games down. There is not a team in the NBA that would have the room that would not give him a max deal. Now, you can say he can't lead you to a championship. You can say he needs to get a better bag around the – you can say – that's all fair. Right. I'm talking specifically about what the Kings paid DeMonte Sabonis. Right now, DeMonte Sabonis, according to most websites, is number 6 on the MVP tracker. Behind him, Anthony Davis, Jalen Brunson, Devin Booker, Rudy Gobert. They all make more money than him. And then you look at who's ahead of him. Tatum, Alexander, Giannis. Those are all obviously max guys too. Mm-hmm. If you're a top 20 player in the NBA, you're all, unless you're on a rookie deal, you're a max player.
Right.
That's just how it works.
Yeah.
And any team in the NBA, if the Kings said, hey, we want a salary dump. We'll trade you, and they had the room. We'll trade you DeMonte Sabonis and his massive $203 million contract for whatever you can take into your cap and give us back. We don't even care. Every single team that could do that would, 100% of the teams that could do that would do that. So say what you want about Sabonis. Don't say he's not a max player.
Yeah, the funny thing is, was it a week ago, 2 weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, we were debating whether or not he had the greatest, he's had the greatest single season in Sacramento Kings history.
Yeah. Yes. The great. Yeah, well, what does that do in the playoff? Well, dude.
We're not talking about that, though.
Right. And why is it, and I understand that when you make that kind of money and you're that good, that when things aren't going well, you should be a focal point.
Right.
And DeMonte Sabonis has struggled lately, and he ain't perfect.
Right. But that puts him then in the company of, who else do we say that about? Dame Lillard, Devin Booker, like Luka, great player. They won a title. They can't win a title.
No.
Well, until they do, right? And maybe Sabonis never will. Maybe Luka never will. Maybe Dame and pick your player, Booker. Whoever.
Donovan Mitchell.
Sure. Like, there's lots of great players that haven't won a title.
Give me 5 DeMonte Sabonises. I mean, we.
Yeah. Not a perfect player. No one is.
No.
He's got his flaws.
Give me 5 of them. Give me a guy.
He's a really good player.
Give me a big guy you can run the offense through that is 5th in assists, that's going to lead the league for the 2nd straight year in rebounds, that leads the league in double doubles, that leads the league, I believe, in triple doubles, that gets regularly cracked in the face and still plays in a contract year, an adjustment year.
Every game.
Every single game. Broken hand, blood coming. Like, DeMonte Sabonis is not your problem. That doesn't mean he's perfect.
Right.
He's not the problem. Yeah. That is like having a gunshot wound to the face and focusing on the mosquito bite you have on your calf that itches really badly.
Right. Like right now, we would say this, like this has been a show reference. Everybody would take Victor Wembanyama today.
Everyone.
No one turns him down. What if 8 years from now, he's never won a title? Well, I mean, he's great, but he can't win a title. Trash. That'll happen to him.
He's trash.
No, he'll still be a great player, right?
Right. 100%. Number three, please. Question three.
All right, so 1 year ago Monday, the Kings played their first home playoff game since 2006 against the Warriors. What was your guys' favorite memory from that Saturday morning?
Can I say it's a tie between two? Because I don't know which one to pick, Jason. The Kings coming out of the tunnel to open and the crowd going absolutely berserk and the final buzzer.
Yeah.
And the crowd going absolutely berserk and we just beat the Golden State Warriors. I don't know how to pick between those two, but they both still give me goosebumps.
Yeah, those are the correct answers, I would say. I'll throw one more just to add on to what great day that was. There was genuine fear for me coming in like, oh man, are there going to be like 60-40 Kings fans, 70-30?
Oh, yeah.
It was 98% to 2%. Like you would see, hey, you could literally go, oh, in 2-0, look, there's a blue shirt, there's a Warrior fan, and there's one.
Right.
But, and there's one. It's not like, oh, that whole row. Oh, that section. Oh, my gosh. It was so Sacramento dominant. Kings fans showed up, kept their tickets.
Yeah.
And that, along with everything you said, too, just awesome moment.
Sabonis has paid $30 million to rebound and screen. He's fifth in assists. He is fifth.
And still scoring 20?
And still scoring 20. And the only guy in the NBA with his type of volume as far as field goal attempts that has better efficiency is Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's it. And he's still averaging 20. It's not 30.
Right.
He's still averaging 20. He's fifth in assists. We're not even talking
about centers?
Amongst the world of the NBA.
Yeah.
Soak your heads, man. My God. Like, seriously. Get in the shower, right? Clothes on or off. I don't care. I'm not there. Do not turn on the hot. Leave it on cold and soak your heads.
Do it.
And if you do have it on hot, you might worry about the energy bills coming from that. PG&E, Smud. Go to American Energy and switch to electric this spring and save big with American Energy. Stay ahead of those spiking energy bills this summer with up to $9,000 in rebates on a new ultra-high-efficiency comfort system. Well, yeah, it might keep you cool in the winter, but it only keeps you cool. That's the argument. That's the Sabonis. Well, it just, you know, the AC works perfectly. All it does is keep me cold, though, and set screens. Set the screen! American Energy is providing huge rebates from Smud, as well as spring specials. And you can install one of many incredibly efficient AC options available to you right now. Get rid of those fluctuating gas bills in the winter and switch to year-round all-electric with American Energy. Let American Energy perform a free in-home energy efficiency analysis and see where they can help you save for the warmer months ahead. These guys are the best. Learn more by calling 916-520-9990. That's 916-520-9990 or AmericanEnergyAir.com. American Energy, making the uncomfortable comfortable. When we get back, we have a Masters update for you. And I have an update on the Kennedy moment question I was asking yesterday. I want to narrow that down a little bit. We'll get off basketball for just a second. We'll be back on the Kings at 8 o'clock right here on Sacktown Sports. Set the screen! All right, let's get into the Masters a little bit. Let's get a little palate cleanser. By the way, how are you doing on that TV over there?
Terribly.
We're trying to find how many people does it take?
We're stuck in vapor lock now. We've got it on a screen we can't get out of.
Yeah, we and apparently we don't have the remote. The engineers finally came in right after the show, and they put in the Fire Stick I brought in so we could watch Masters coverage, and they did that, but left it on the cable channel. And, oh, you know what I could do? Mm. Well, I could have done it now, but we can't even turn it off now.
Right.
It's stuck. Here's what I could do. I could figure out which one it is, and I could unplug that TV, plug it back in. I feel like that would reset yes. it. Okay. And then I could take the cable HDMI out and put in the Fire Stick HDMI in that spot, and then it's already up. That's how you change the input. That's the only thing I can think of.
Okay. Next break.
It's easier said than done.
Oh.
Oh. Oh.
No. Fix
oh,
it.
Nope. Here. Dog. No. Dog. We also brought in my dog today, and by we, I mean me. And she keeps, Jason just can't keep himself away from puppy. But also Jason is allergic to puppies and shrimp. So we're trying to.
Shrimp puppies.
Well, guess what I brought in today, Jason?
Ooh, a puppy sandwich?
Shrimp.
Did you bring in shrimp?
No, I was just making
okay.
a joke.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah. No microwave shrimp. But,
oh, no.
It's like a second cousin.
Just
of
egg
salmon.
Salad.
Yeah. Egg salad, salmon, broccoli. Yeah. Don't do it. Let's go to the Masters, everybody. And by that, I mean, I wish. And also, we should say, Vern Lundquist,
mm-hmm.
40 years retiring.
Aw.
Yeah. And your
hello,
wife. It was a bit of an, there was no real way around this. Bit of an unfortunate situation because of the weather delay yesterday.
Yeah.
Everybody had to go out, you know, two and a half hours late. They had the weather issues, super windy. Tiger goes out yesterday. I think he shot a one under, or was he even one of those.
He was one under when he had to stop.
There you go. He's one under when he had to stop. I believe he finished the round at even, or no, he finishes around. He bogeyed 18, but he had to finish it this morning.
Yeah, he's out. He's already started his second round.
So poor Tiger he's the last guy to finish yesterday. He's the first guy out today. You got to finish your first round, which I think they had four or five holes to go. So now the dude's going to do 23 holes today, and they were already saying, I was watching this morning, and you could already see when I say this morning around five, and Dottie Pepper and all the announcers were like, yeah, he is obviously limp, you know, he looks a little stiffened up here. Mm-hmm. So hopefully he works that out. It's and
see if he can make the cut.
Yes, and that's the thing, really, not that he doesn't want to win, but if he makes the cut, that would be the. That would be the record. The projected cut is plus +2.
Okay. So he's close.
Yeah. And yes. And Tiger Woods just finished up one, hole number one, shot a 73 one over yesterday. He is one over. So he is one stroke inside the cut as
he birdied right yesterday, now. Hole number one.
Yes, he did. Jeff, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Hey, I think he finished one under, but that's not what I called. Hey, Dave, I was at the game last night and, I think it's really clear what is going on with the Kings. And it's obvious to me. They are missing Herter and Monk so much. Like, no duh, right? But the things that Herter did, I mean, I know we had a love-hate relationship with him, with his play on the court. But when he didn't have the ball, he distracts the defense so much of the other team. They have to account for him. It opens up other things for Sabonis and Fox. You know, and then Monk, of course, is Monk. He's just electric. And so basically, we have a six-man rotation with those guys, or those are like kind of like our six starters. We're missing a third of our team. So what do you expect? Of course our offense is going to dip. Of course it is. Yeah, our defense is a little bit better. We're putting, you know, Keon Ellis and Duarte, we're playing those guys and those good defenders, but they don't make up for the lack of offensive production that we got from Herter and Monk. Even if Herter wasn't showing up on the stat sheet every night, the other teams had to account for him. Anyways, that's all I have to say.
Thank you. I don't disagree with what Jeff's saying per se. Mm-hmm. I would just simply add, let's not blanket over the fact that they had Monk and Herter for almost the entire year with a bunch of those terrible losses. Like this, Monk and Herter are not they are better with Monk and Herter. That's not a question. I fully believe they're now 1-4 in their last five. You can add at least one, if not two wins. At least one or two wins if Malik Monk is playing.
Yeah, I think their offense looks different with those guys on the floor. Now, last night was a better offensive game, but I think Sabonis is the one that's been impacted the most. We talked about it earlier about how much there's like a sneaky impact of Malik Monk and Sabonis playing together, the way they play together. And then Herter does space the floor.
Yes.
And that helps open up things for other people. Even if he's not shooting well, there's more of a – I think when other teams scheme and game plan, they go, okay, that's the guy we're not leaving. And so Herter is a floor. Like, they leave Keon Ellis. Now, he's been making some threes.
But they still leave him.
But they leave him.
As we wrap up this segment, there was a moment last night that was funny yet unfortunate. I'll let Kevin Harlan tell you.
Pelicans hold on. Driving into Murray. Somebody's throwing something on the floor. 46 seconds to go, and a whistle blew. It's a chicken wing. Why would someone throw something that good out on the floor? It's crispy. Yes. It's warm.
Yes.
And I almost had to go out. I'm so hungry.
I hear your stomach over here growling.
What's that guy? I hope he eats it. I'm just going to save it for a little. I'm going to put it in that little heater over there. 46 seconds to go. It's Murphy with the ball and Fox the quick fox.
Was that true?
Yes.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, there was actually, they threw two chicken wings.
Because, yeah, Moak even made a, you know, from where we sit in radio, we couldn't tell at all. It was like something was thrown in the court. I would not have guessed a chicken wing.
Yeah, that's a first.
Yeah.
We now have the puke game and the chicken wing game.
Yeah.
And that was with about 46 seconds left in the first, or in the fourth, excuse me. Well,
King's been looking for some wing help.
I mean, I'll tell you this much. Guarantee it wouldn't be.
All right.
It wasn't.
Gracie?
Nice job. High five. Oh, one bread Malaysian curry.
Yeah.
Nobody throws that wing.
Nope.
Nobody puts wingy in a corner. We'll take a break when we come back. We'll get into the Shohei Ohtani report a little bit. And is Tom Brady really opening the door to a comeback? We have audio on this. We'll let you be the judge. But the opportunity, whether you're a Brady fan or not, if you're just a football fan, to see Tom Brady leading a team, Raider fan, down the field, putting together one of his signature drives. It makes me want to put together a signature drive. All right, in the future. So when I make the transition, you got to wait for me to say, it makes me want to put together one of my signature drives at Hobla. And then as soon as I say the client, then boom, you hit the music. It makes the transition that much better.
I got you, Dave.
You got me? All right. We're talking Chrysler, Jeep, Ram in Woodland. Hobla Dodge Ram Truck Month. Very excited to be celebrating 75 years in the business. And what better way to celebrate, okay, than helping you find the hard-to-find HD Ram you've been looking for less. Right now, save up to $8,000 off MSRP on the new 2024 Ram 2500 Tradesman Crew Cabs. And with California's biggest selection of Ram trucks, you're sure to find the truck you need. It all started with Chad Hoblett's grandma and grandpa. Their dream has grown over the years to where they've had the chance to serve tens of thousands of customers and show them that there is something special about Hoblett you just can't get at those big city auto mall dealerships. Go experience the difference at California's number one Ram truck dealer. Search, select, and save through their whole inventory at HoblettDodge.com. Unbeatable prices, unbeatable selection. Nobody beats Hoblett, period. We're right back. Raider fan, how would you feel if Tom Brady was your quarterback? We'll talk about it next. 1-800-920-1140. We take your phone calls. Dwayne, good morning.
How are you, brother?
Good, my man. How are you?
I mean, I'm good. You know, I'm good on a good day, good on a bad day. But I feel like it's a bad day for the Kings, man. I just feel like that's the end of the road. I don't feel like they even win the play-in. If they get into a playoff series, I mean, it could be sweet time without Herter and Monk. But honestly, I want to go back to the trade deadline. That's where we need to look at, because this ownership, this management, they didn't make the moves. They knew where they were deficient, and they just did, they ran it back. And now it's not looking good, but, you know, they do whatever they want, and the fans just kind of got to deal with it. You know, last night they were running Zion at the point. When teams go long on the Kings, there's guys on the Kings bench you can't even put in, like the little point guard from Baylor. He's a defensive guy, but he's too little for today's NBA. So I think you all look at trading him. But I really think you got to go back to the deadline, because they need to go back to the blueprint when the Kings were good, when they had Weber, they had Bibby, they had a tough Bobby Jackson. You know what I mean? They're missing all that. They're not tough on defense. When they need a stop, not only do they not get a stop, the other team gets a dunk or a layup. So their principles on defense aren't there. And, you know, it's just they're lacking in too many areas, man. So I just feel like they should have gotten better this year, and they stood pat, and I feel sorry for the fans. So I just want to know what you guys think about that.
Well, have a great day. Hey, hold on before you hang up. You still there?
Yeah.
Okay. So I would say a couple of things, and Jason, feel free to jump in. Number one, a lot of what you said, it's not just I agree with it, it's factual. Like, they are lacking. They did not make moves at the trade deadline. But when you say go back to the trade deadline, here's the question I have in my head. How do we know what was available? How do we know, you know, like you said, well, we should trade Davion Mitchell, but I always say other GMs get paid too. If you don't think Davion Mitchell has the value requisite to stay with us, how is he going to have value to another team? Maybe there's somebody. But I guess my question would be the one thing we don't know. We don't know what was out there for Monty McNair. You know what I'm saying? I would say that would be my first thing. Second thing, you said let's go back to the glory days, mm-hmm. right? And I don't disagree with that at all. I thought this would be appropriate to bring up. A lot of us forget. The first year the Kings were in the playoffs, they took the Jazz to 5 games. That was before it was a 7-game series. They lost. The second year they were in the playoffs, which, by the way, they would be this year, more than likely, they took the Lakers to 5 games and they lost. So in a weird way, there are some similarities between the Adam and Kings process and the what's going on right now, Jason. So Dwayne, that's all I'm saying.
Can I chime in on that?
Yeah, of course.
So it was a tougher game back then. Way tougher. Bunch of tough guys. Flagrant fouls didn't exist. So, you know, the Kings were way tougher back then. And the teams that are tough like that these days are at least have a couple guys out there who are going to get pissed off at guys for not playing defense or push somebody around, take a hard foul. You know what I mean? That goes a long way. And the Pelicans actually are a good example of that with those long guys, and they got some tough guys. And, you know, that I just think it was a different game back then. So if you bring some of that back, you have an edge, especially in the playoffs, and especially for Sabonis. Because watch out, man. If they make a playoff series, man, that guy's numbers are going to go down, man, because everything ratchets up. His finesse game isn't going to play out in the playoffs, and it never does, man. You guys have a great day.
You too, Dwayne. Thank you. It's a good call. I don't disagree with everything
you said. Know what's fun? You've done this a long time. I've done this long enough to remember the calls back in 97, 98, uh-huh. or 98, 99, 2000, yeah. 2001. You can't win a championship with Chris Webber as your best player.
Yep.
This team isn't. It was funny. He was like toughness and defense. Like they were not talked about as a good defensive team. Doug was.
Right.
Doug was.
There's two things we remember.
Peja can't guard anybody.
Right. We remember Doug's
Rick
toughness.
Adelman coaches offense.
We remember Chris Webber's hip check in the Utah series. Dude, they were. Are you kidding me? Vlade was like a lubed up cylinder that a hot dog was sliding through.
That's what people would say, whether it was right or wrong.
Right.
It's just some of the similar things. Now, again, I'm not. I don't disagree with a lot of what Dwayne said, but you know, look, I think we all play armchair GM. Dave, I don't remember. Did the Warriors make a move at the deadline?
No.
Did the Lakers?
I don't think so. No.
They just played better basketball.
They added Spencer Dinwiddie.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, the buyout. So they didn't even get, they just got him on the buyout.
Hey, don't count the man the host, man. Just let us lie.
Kings didn't last year. It worked this year. I would have liked to see them add somebody.
Yes.
But what I also don't think it was a very active deadline, opposed to last year. Last year was very active.
Right. I don't know. Again, I just. By the way, just because I say I don't know what was available for Monty, that's not a full throated defense. Maybe there was stuff available that he were like, oh my god, how did you not do that? Like, I don't know. Honestly. This summer, as much as it kind of makes me shiver a little bit, I'm going to go back to a conversation we had in the preseason when it happened. I can't shake the fact that as much as it kind of the bile comes up in the back of my mouth, and I'm not talking Draymond, might have looked a little harder at signing Dylan Brooks on this team.
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks would be that is the type of fit on this particular team that would be very, very interesting.
Yeah.
He's a clown, but he will get in your face. Right. He's a little nuts. But He's your clown, and he loves to play defense.
I'll do an early prediction. If Monty has a busy offseason, let's just say it does like 5 moves,
uh-huh.
it'll be received well. Without it even playing.
You're 100% correct.
What if they get 10 games worse because of the Moose? Well, they were really busy. They were active.
Yeah.
They could get 10 games better. They could be the same. You just don't know. But sometimes the perception is, oh, they were busy. They're working hard on this. Well, it's not always the way it works.
Back to Jeff. It says different Jeff here. Hello, different Jeff. Good morning.
A different Jeff.
Good morning, Dave. I got to pay you a compliment. I've been an admirer of yours and Jason for decades. That's how long I've been listening to your show.
Well,
shows.
Well, you're the right Jeff.
Yeah, you're the other Jeffs are the different Jeffs. He's the right Jeff. And we'll all be old together, Jeff. Thank you for the compliment. What's going on?
I hate to say that people think that teams need to be grown overnight. It doesn't happen that way. You start looking over how a team grows and modifies and changes and modifies. It takes about 5 or 6 years before you become a solidified playoff team. And so we found out this year Keegan is not the third option. Monk is. We need a big up in the front go with Sabonis because he is extremely dependable. You can ride him in for 10 points, 10 assists, 10 rebounds. You can't get that anywhere. So I don't care what people keep saying. You're finding out a lot of the weaknesses because of these deficiencies. And I wish I could talk longer, but I've got to make it to work. And I just wanted to make sure to say hello to you and Jason.
Hey, real quick before you go, and thank you for the call. What is that sound in the background?
My car.
What is this? It's going bing, and we can't get over it. Like we were dancing to it. Is that a turn signal?
No, it's my electric car telling me I'm going in reverse. Pay attention.
Okay.
Pay attention.
Jeff, stay safe.
Different and real Jeff.
Bong. Bong.
It was a nice rhythm to it.
Yeah, that's just going to throw a good call, Jeff.
Yeah.
Although I was very much paying attention to the bonging. Steven. Or is it Stefan?
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Is that Steven?
No, it's that Steven.
It's Steven.
It's me.
Yeah, it's not different Hi. Steven. It's OG Steven.
Yeah.
No, it's not the other Steven. It's the
Steven. Good morning, the Steven.
Good morning, boys. Jason, I have a question for you.
Yes.
How many different sports have you actually called?
Play-by-play for?
Play-by-play.
Yeah.
I guess play-by-play, yeah.
Yeah.
Jason, I'm sorry. Not play-by-play, play-by-play.
Let me see. Correct. I don't know the answer to that. Football, basketball, soccer, baseball, I guess four.
Four? Wow.
I think four.
Okay. What is your most memorable call that you, you could think about every day? Like that? I remember that call. That was my favorite call I have ever done. And no, I'm not talking about the Boston Celtics, even though I know you're a closet Boston Celtics.
Yeah, longtime Celtics voice.
Can I give my personal top three? And then you tell me, obviously. No, there's a top. Okay, my Carmichael Dave's top three Jason Ross calls. All right, coming in at number three. Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Coming in.
That's okay.
Coming in at number two. What just happened? That was Stanford last year, Sanford State. And of course, come on. Number one, do I even need to say it? No, he didn't. Yes, he did. Those are my personal top three. You, talk about yourself.
Yeah.
Go.
I love this. I'm you know what? My answer, someone asked me this before.
Yeah.
And I liked my answer before, so I'm gonna run it back. It's coming.
It's what?
It's coming.
It's coming?
It hasn't happened yet.
Oh, your favorite call has not happened yet.
I feel like you always, I'm like, want to chase that. Like, because if I go, that's it, I've got it, I'm done. Like, no.
No.
It's coming.
It's still yet to happen.
Yeah, I don't know what it will
Wow.
be.
But no, he didn't. Yes, he did. It's a class. You know what, though? Here's my prediction. It doesn't matter what the call is. You'll probably be like, yeah, no, I don't see what's special about that. It just was calling. Like, Vern Lundquist is probably like, dude, I said in your life.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
What? Well, I remember I got some attention for that. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. But I've heard it a lot. And I go, what happened? Like, did DeMarcus take out a gun and shoot somebody? Did he?
No, he did.
Did he grab a puppy?
Oh, you. So you're grading yourself saying it's not descriptive enough?
For the radio? I mean, like. It probably would have been honestly better if it was television.
You know, because I found the same thing where I was like, well, what miracles am I supposed to believe
right.
in, Al? I don't know what's going on.
But that was TV.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
You're right. We will.
Too critical.
By the way, we'll get to this Tom Brady audio. We can put it. We're always going to give you guys the benefit of the doubt. And Justin, I see you on the phone on line four. If you hold through the break, I do promise we'll get right to you at the top of the hour. That's your choice. I know you got a busy day. 1-800-912-1140, though, also, Jiffy Lube Drive of the Game. Yes, there was actually a Jiffy Lube Drive of the Game. And if you call in with that, I'll even, you know what, Jason, because last night's game was so tough, because I understand everybody's kind of down in the dumpers, I'm going to give it, I don't ever do this, I'm going to give you a hint.
Okay.
Last night's Jiffy Lube Drive of the Game happened in the second quarter.
That's a giveaway, Dave.
Happened in the second quarter. And it involved two players we've already mentioned today. On the Sacramento Kings.
Layup.
We'll take a I'm not going to say if it's a layup or not.
No,
now.
You're making it one.
When we come back, all of that.
A home run.
We'll talk to Justin. We'll talk to our winner there. And then let's reset here. The Kings go 0-5 against the Pelicans. Where are they at now? And what is ahead of them starting tonight? We're right back. It's Jason, Dave. It's Kyle filling in for Chris Rilott on Sacktown Sports.